Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello and welcome to Awakenings Radio, everyone. Hello to all in the chat room, also known as the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. Wonderful to connect with everyone. Oh, such a great Wednesday. I love my Wednesdays. Wonder Wednesdays, wonderful Wednesdays. Hello, everyone that'll be listening later via iTunes and, of course, the archives. And thank you all for the recent wonderful emails and appreciation comments that you posted to the iTunes page. Every now and then I take a peek, or my assistant, and it actually was a friend of mine that she was asking me to send her the link to Awakenings Radio. And she said, oh, I love listening to it by phone. And I'm like, why don't you just subscribe to it? If you're listening, you know who you are. This is recent. I go, it'll come right in your inbox, right in it. But, and I said, you don't even have to download the shows that you don't want to listen to, or you can download them later to listen. And she's like, oh, I didn't know I could do that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in the middle of like five or six different things. So just go to iTunes and subscribe, and it'll come right to you. Wow. Okay. We're still doing our Where and How You Listen to Awakening. So if you'd like a little gift MP3, I believe it's of a talk and a meditation, just email us either at awakeningsradio@gmail.com or awakenings@selfinlight.com. And we'll continue to do that because I love the feedback. I love when you guys email. I love when you put stuff on Awakenings Radio page on Facebook and say hi. And I love all the recent posts. People have been putting on their own projects, things that they have going on, and also, you know, ways that you're doing a service, whether it's healing work or artistic work or whatever. I love it. So somebody had asked me, oh, I didn't know you could post that kind of stuff on the Awakenings page. And, you know, more than a podcast or a radio show, we're really a community. So let people know, or if you're needing support and you want to reach out, you know, to someone, or you want someone to connect with, it's a great way to guarantee that you're, you know, connecting. Yeah, Divine Mystic, but we are family. I love it. We are family. Da, da, da. Okay, enough of that. Call a number for questions or comments, 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad, lets me know you want to be heard. We have our awakened guest will be coming on later, Kelly Sullivan Walden, who's a certified hypnotherapist, dream life coach, does some dream life coach training, and quite a number of books. We'll be diving into talking with her. She's also the founder, by the way, of the Dream Project, and so we'll be talking to her about that as well. Yeah, so, you know, I'm a fan of dream therapy. I use a lot of it in my practice. And personally as well. Let's see. We've got a couple of questions here. Oh, we did have on that note, and it'd be interesting, and we'll get right to the callers as well. Had a person email me, and it would be good to share this with everyone, who'd had a dream. And I think this kind of stuff comes in for a lot of people. Because there are predictive dreams, but dreams usually happen on many different levels. And a lot of times if it's a predictive dream, there's a different quality to it. It's usually not mishmashed with a lot of other day-to-day happenings. It's usually very clear and concise. And so you also have, and Sue, this is for you who emailed in, and I'm sure other people have had this, She had a dream about her mother getting ill and being in the hospital, but that she was also okay, and that also her mother was driving her somewhere up a mountain road, and she actually happens to live in the mountains, and then her mother was no longer in the car. And, you know, the car, a lot of times it symbolizes it's our body, it's our vehicle in life, just like our body is our vehicle in physical form. So a lot of times when you're not driving, it's showing either that you're taking the back seat to something, or you're not as in, you know, direct control or navigating. Maybe somebody else is more navigating, or you're following more their lead, or you haven't individuated out yet or enough. Well, what ended up happening, we went over this in the session, and I said, well, there's a few things. Yes, probably, because she had this feeling. And that's another thing. Trust, you've got to trust your feeling when you're getting the dream message from the higher self. It's coming, dreams come, you know, from our soul, letting us know what's up, what's our next level of integration, what's our next step, what do we need to work on, what's blocking us. So just like we have communications with each other, that are many different types of communications. You'll have many different types of communications on a soul level, you know, directed by the higher self that's navigating. We call it the inner guide, the inner healer. It's the part of you that's guiding that the ego personality needs to be receptive to. And she just had this feeling, I feel my mom is going to be, you know, ill and perhaps doesn't have that much. She's getting up there in years. Well, as it turned out, her mom did end up going into the hospital about a month later. And we started doing a lot of work before that on the mother. And I said, it also looks like, though, she's better, but you're getting the heads up that you need to handle this part of your life and, to, you know, come to some kind of peaceful resolution for yourself, whatever that ends up being. It'll be guided by your inner guidance. As well as the car, it's about her driving her own life, you know, getting behind the wheel and deciding what's the right direction for her, and checking to see, you know, sometimes people give us directions, right? Even when we are literally driving, and sometimes we find, well, I don't want to go that way. You know, maybe the friend gives you the directions to drive on the freeway, and maybe you want to drive along the coast, and you say, yeah, I can go that way, but today I want to drive on the coast. So that dream clearly showed her going in different directions, not separating, because she was worried. She was like, oh, does that mean we're not going to see each other, or she's dying right now? And I said, no, but sometimes we need to separate out, not cut off or separate, but just separate out to see what are our true ideals or motivations, or, you know, what route do we want to take? So anyway, I found it fascinating, so I wanted to share that with you. And Sue, I hope that gives you some insight as to what is going on in the dream. Okay, so let's just go ahead and dive in and get to some callers here. Hi, 646-729, you're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Michelle, how are you?
Hey, doing great.
Good, this is Owen.
Who's this? Oh, hey, Owen, hi.
Hi. I'm just...
Do you have a question?
I do, yeah. I'm just calling...
Oh, cool.
...to get a little bit of insight. I'm in my last month of massage school, and...
Good,
I'm
I was going to say school, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just kind of wondering what you see after I'm done with school.
Okay. Now, I do see you doing massage, but I feel there's some other things that are also going to be interesting you. You've got a lot in your energetic field about health, fitness, nutrition. And I even see you doing some speaking, even maybe not yet what you're going to get in and get more comfortable, but, you know, communities. Is that something you ever thought about?
Not really, not specifically, but I could see that happening. I'm also a musician and a singer, so I don't know if that has anything to do with that.
Well, maybe that's the performance I'm seeing, because I feel, and I was going to say, I feel something, do you sing at all? Because I feel something with the voice.
I do, yeah. That's
there's
kind
something
of my other
very
passion.
Healing of there's something. It is what?
That's my other passion that I'm kind of pursuing at this time too. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, singing.
Oh,
and guitar. Yeah.
No, you've got to do something with the voice, singing, speaking. Yeah. I don't know all of it, but it shows you're meant. I love the massage. I love the health, the fitness, the nutrition. I love all that around you. I love that
mm-hmm.
kind of awakening into that. You're very physical being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But your body, you know, like everyone's, but I want to say specifically to you, this incarnation, your body is really your vehicle, your instrument. It's funny how we were talking earlier about the dream and the car and being in the body and driving your own way. So I want to see you get more physical
mm-hmm.
and also, you know, not to give up on that singing, because I do feel somehow you're going to be using your voice, you know, and I don't
yeah.
mean it figuratively, just I mean literally voicing things, speaking, performing. I see you in front of people, a lot of people. And I
yeah.
see you doing something at schools. I keep hearing college, community college. So I want to say if you want to do the music thing, I feel like the route for you is to get in playing locally and specifically local colleges and building up.
Cool. Great. Awesome. That's
yeah.
I mean, everything you just said really sounds right on and really resonates with me. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling
yeah.
in.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great
All
day.
Right. You too. Wonderful. Yeah, I can feel the voice. The voice wants to express. And I also feel, Owen, there's healing. There's healing energy in that voice. So use that voice, not just the hands and the mind. Use the voice. Hi, 812-654. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle. It's Suzanne.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
It's Suzanne. Hi, Suzanne. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm okay.
I think someone has a birthday coming up or happened, yeah?
Mimi has one on Monday, yeah.
Mimi, that's what
yeah.
it is, yeah, Mimi.
Yeah.
So, do you have a question, a comment?
Well, you had said that Kathy would want to come back and you know, start things up again, being friends.
Yeah.
She texted Augusta last night to see if I wanted to talk. And, you know, me and my guilt, I feel guilty that I didn't say, yes, I'll talk to her. So,
mm-hmm.
should I open that door again?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think you can open doors, but you don't have to be as close. I think we've really moved out of a time period of having to do big speeches and cut off. But
yeah.
I think you know where she's at. You can play it by ear. See if you know, there's a saying in the I Ching is if somebody's receptive, if they're open and they're honoring, you go forward. But the minute you feel they're not honoring, you don't
yeah.
cut off, but you do what they call a healthy retreat.
I thought mm-hmm. Last night when I was thinking about this, her birthday's tomorrow, and I thought maybe I would call her and wish her a happy birthday. And then go from there. You know, and that'd be it.
Yeah, there you go.
Know? But then I thought...
My thing with her...
there
you go. I would listen to that intuition. I like the idea we wind out. You know, think that we wind in things and wind out. And I think when you grow, sometimes you're less and less around somebody. Sometimes it's for a short period of time. Sometimes a longer period. Sometimes years. But I feel if we follow the natural inclination, we don't get ourselves in trouble. We don't get snagged. And we don't incur karma, you know, also, because we're
right.
not attached to the result, right? And I feel with her, she knows she's in the wrong. And I feel she either doesn't have a lot of friends or she really misses the friendship.
Okay.
Now, in saying that, Suzanne, I do want to say she almost can't help herself. So there's some jealousy there towards you. So...
Yeah.
She may zing again, you know, she may zing again, so you're going to have to decide you know, what's healthy for you, what's life enhancing
right.
or optimum for you of how
well,
close.
Well, I've been real happy since we haven't been talking and everything. I haven't been down because nobody's putting me down, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
But
so then you
I
don't have
healthy.
To get overly involved. Then you don't,
yeah.
you know, I have friends and also, you know, acquaintance friends, family members that I have that kind of, you know, I don't have to say, look, you know, you're unevolved or you're not very evolved or you're displaying
right.
unhealthy. But, you know, you don't have to go into all that, but you just don't have to be as close or get enmeshed. You don't have to set yourself up.
I don't have
up.
To tell her every little bit of my life.
Well, yeah, that I definitely would not.
Okay.
And just kind of feel it out, keep it kind of simple, and then see where she's at. But I agree. I wouldn't necessarily jump in and be best buddies because you already know.
I know.
You know,
yeah.
her, right. Yeah.
Right.
That she hasn't changed, but, you know, it's all, you know, the love, the connection is always there with people. That never goes away. We all have to remember that.
Okay.
But sometimes it's only like, you know, 3% or 5% or
yeah.
10%. Very good. Okay. Well, there you go. So she's came back around the pipe
yeah,
there.
Yeah, she would, and of course she did. So I appreciate your time.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's
right,
see, Tamara's putting in the chat. Okay, listen, good to talk to you. It's okay to let go of folks who aren't good for our well-being. Yeah, neutrality, not a push away, just go in another direction. Yeah, and that's it. You know, so much is us keeping things going by having to do these declarations of why we're not calling back or why we're do this and that. And people know. It's just, you know, the other thing, and by the way, we do have callers on the line. Make sure that you pressed 1 on the keypad, and I'll be getting to you. Tamara put, we don't need to make them wrong. Exactly. You know, this whole year we're in a phase of harmony through conflict, inner as well as outer. And most inner outer conflict stems from some inner conflict. Not always, but a lot of times there's some misalignment that needs to be rebalanced or bring consciousness to. And, you know, and the other thing is when you shift and change, it does create an imbalance and a conflict within that has to be harmonized. You know, it's like, I don't know, let's say an idea. Let's say you decide that you want to get up every day or, you know, at 6 a.m. and go for a hike or a walk. There's going to be a conflict sometimes with the part that's used to sleeping till 7:30 or 8. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, or the conflict of the part that wants to stay up till 2 in the morning and finish that movie, and then the part that says, no, because we have to get up early and go for this hike. So conflict isn't necessarily bad. It's a call for resolution, for integration, for harmonization. It's a call for coherence, which is always about a new level of awareness. So when we change, when we're shifting, when we change, when we transform our lives, when we transform our relating pattern, when we go through a transformative experience, things get out of alignment. And even our relationships. And so then we have to see how can we bring in the new awareness, the new level, how can we bring that alignment? And sometimes alignment means less time with someone or something. You know, less time with television, you know, or less time reading, more time walking. Or more less time walking, more time reading. You know what I'm saying? It's not about good or bad. It's about what's that balance. So it's about bringing consciousness, having conscious decisions, moving into conscious creation of your life to observe what do we really need to do now in this situation? What's the new alignment? And, again, bringing consciousness, you know, to that. Let's see. Okay, we've got another caller. 818-421. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. It's Sadie.
Hi.
Hey, Sadie.
Hi.
Hi. I was just calling to see if you, with everything switching up with where my living situation, if you see where we might be moving to or kind of have an idea of what you see coming in.
Okay, let's look at that. Oh, now it's interesting because we're talking about that conflict and changing things up. And it's interesting you were on the line because I didn't know that was you. But, you know, because you're a good example. When you change, we need our location. Sometimes you outgrow a space, you need more room, you know, or you outgrow a space even in the house and maybe you get rid of the furniture or get new furniture in or somehow you move around. I am feeling... It's showing right now, April, May, and into June, there's a lot about looking. For some reason, I'm feeling, I feel like you might even be moving out of the area.
Okay.
There might be a different, first of all, I feel a lot of different looking around. Who's in Hollywood? I keep hearing Hollywood.
That's where Denton works, my husband.
Ah, okay. So I don't know if it's actually going there or, but I do see you spending a lot more time in that area. So it may be that you're thinking there's a place in between where is he driving or taking public transportation or something? There's something coming up about the drive or transportation or if we were closer. I don't know if it's specifically moving there, but I can hear for some reason Hollywood is coming into a reason.
Okay. Yeah, he takes public transportation right now.
Okay. And is it long? It's long, right? It's a long
haul, it's a long,
I hear.
He enjoys it coming to a point where he's not driving.
Okay. Well, there may be something, and it may even be just like, I don't know, I'm feeling like Woodland Hills, Sherman Oaks, Studio City, because I feel like he could either drive over the hill or I can hear, oh, it's right in front of the house. I don't know if it's a bus or like a subway or something, but I feel like the commute is going to be less for him. But
okay.
I do see you around. There is going to be a larger street or city that I see you. Well, not real city. Obviously, there's not like New York or Chicago or London, but Hong Kong. It's not bustling, but there is going to be. For some reason, I see Ventura Boulevard close by. I feel like there's some little routine that you're going to have. Dropping the kids off, walking, and going to like a little cafe, either by yourself. Or meeting someone, and there's an art store near there. You're going to be out more, out of the house more, and not just with the kids, but by yourself.
I like the sound of that.
Or you might even sometimes drop Denton off. Yeah. No, I even see you dropping him off and hanging around the area.
Okay.
The reason it's happening is you need new energy in, and you need some inspiration for your art.
Okay.
For the work that you're doing. I don't know if jewelry, whatever it is, there seems to be something else that's going to come in too. It's not just, that's interesting. It's not just jewelry. I don't know. There's drawing and painting and then putting something on also clothes or bags or something. There's coming in like a designer.
Okay.
I'm going to be visiting you more at an art. Could be fabrics, too. Fabric store. But I definitely do see a move. It's not if then. And eyes are going to go in this kind of like manic overload, like, okay, we got to find a place now. We got to go. And then you're looking. And then you're all with, let's drive here. Let's go here. It's a lot of different, and then it kind of simmers, and then you do put more money, put things aside to actually really point it.
Okay.
So it's not just the situation, your environment, it's also doing to your inner environment, and also him, the commute, school kids as well. So that's another thing. There's a new school. They're both in school, right? Or is just one of them?
Just Syra.
Oh, so there's a new, the little one, the other is going to, there's a school. There's going to be a school nearby.
Okay.
When you go. I don't know if you've been looking, like, I don't know, it might be 2, 3, 4 hours or something, or daycare. It might even be a daycare, I'm not sure. But I do see you, I don't know why I see that Sepulveda that's there. What is it? There's a mall there as well.
Yeah, there's that little promenade right there.
Okay. Is there, okay. So, does that help at all?
Yes.
Okay. Have you been looking already?
I've started to look, yeah.
Okay. But nothing yet?
Nothing yet.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, it's not, there's something about, I don't know, I feel you in a little bit more, I don't know, contemporary area. I don't know how else to put it.
Okay. I just have more housey than apartment style.
Well, it could be little housey.
Okay.
Well, you're not going to move someplace where you don't like it. But the thing is, you're somehow, you're kind of cloistered where you're at right now. You're a little hidden or something, or tucked away. You're not inspired where you're at. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you need to be, you need to be in an area that's a bit more artistic.
Okay.
A little more interesting. I don't know. I feel like the area, the energy is very dead. It's not very, you know how some areas are just kind of sparkly? You just feel, I don't know, alive,
yeah.
more life forces there. And actually that the area and the specifically the house area where you're at is a little, it's pulling on you or sucking. It's draining.
Okay.
So actually that you're at in the house, I feel when you moved there, you had a lot of issues with exhaustion.
Okay.
It's not just, it wasn't just you healing from something. It's the house. There's something toxic too. I don't know if it's a paint or rug or something. I don't know. It's something in the house, around the house, that there's levels of toxicity.
Where I am right now?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
that makes sense.
Does it? Okay. Yeah, it's actually it's not giving you energy. It's actually draining. See, this is, and we're going to get to other calls, but I want to continue with this because this is, I think, important for everyone. Again, if you're calling in for questions, readings, 347-539-5122, press 1 on the keypad. Now I got to go back in to the channel. It's really important for people to know how you are, know what kind of person that you are or what really feeds you. And I want to say when you're making decisions or making changes, especially major changes, you want to ask yourself soul questions. These are the soul questions. What are the qualities of people I want around me or need around me? What are the qualities of the area? What are the qualities of the environment? What are the qualities of a situation or circumstance? So that could even be a job, whatever it is. But you also have to know yourself. See, for me, I'm so introverted. I lived up in the canyons before. I hardly went anywhere. Hi, Indy. So you have to know. Some people do really well in a second. And don't ask with your ego mind. Don't think, oh, I want, this is best for the kids, or I want this, or I want that. Don't ask that. You really need to get into a kind of, you need to use yourself as a, what do you call it, a Geiger counter or a little radar, or what are those machines where people put in the beach where it picks up metal detector. You need to tune into the subtle energy and start noticing what kind of environments, what kind of people raise your vibrational frequency. In other words, make you feel better, make you feel like, wow, they got me, or this is so me, or I so love this. It's like clothes.
Okay.
Putting on certain clothes, you just feel, wow, this. Because I feel you're going to find out what type of, not only people you need to be around, but what type of environment, colors and housing. Feel where you're at. Maybe you had to move quickly or something, I feel. I don't know. I feel like it really doesn't suit you.
Okay.
Kind of really never suited you. You're going to see what you need. Like when you come out of the house, you know, like I need to be on the floor level. It's too much of a hassle with me with my bike or getting things out to just, you know, to be, I have to have a, you know, a little cottage. I've got a cottage, but I need to be close to the water, need to be by the beach, but I need to be, when I walk out, there's certain things I need to see that nurture me. You know, I need to be able to walk places. I don't want to get in my car all the time. I need to be able to walk somewhere. Just knowing that I can walk to a cafe or walk to a store, a little, you know, farmer's market or a little neighborhood market brings me joy. Just even thinking about that, I don't have to rely on a car. Do you see how my energy is going up, Sadie, when I'm talking about this? I'm, like, excited.
Yeah.
That's what where you need to make your decisions from. You know, I need to be around artistic people. I need to be around nature. I need to be able to go on the bike path with my bike and be at the beach or go on a hike or go on a trail. See, those are the things that excite me. You know, what doesn't excite me when I lived in the city was only seeing, you know, for a short period of time, was looking out my window and having to look for how many blocks and seeing only one skinny tree. That made my heart sink. So that lowered my vibrational frequency. This is one. If you make your decisions from that place, and especially living situations, you're going to have more energy, and you're actually going to bump into people and draw in situations to you that and circumstances that are more in alignment with your soul design. Sound good?
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
All right. And you're very welcome. Ooh, that sparks some good stuff there. I love it. Talk to you later. Good, good, good. Yeah, choose from the soul, not the constructed ego. You know, I had somebody, it was so funny, they actually had twins, but they got a baby and they're like, oh, I need to get a mom car now. We need to get a responsible car. And I didn't say anything, but I thought to myself, what is a mom car? I've seen in a Maserati or a Porsche, you know, or a Jeep Wrangler, you know, so what's that? And they did buy a certain car, and then they realized that wasn't them. Well, I could have told them that, but they had to find it out. So watch it. You know, watch those things that come out of your mouth like that. It's so harsh and damaging to the soul because you're not honoring your soul. You're not honoring your unique, beautiful individuality, the individuated aspect of God that you are. You know, maybe, you know, your mom car is, you know, I don't know, some kind of Bronco or I don't know, some kind of, you know, maybe it's a moped. But you've got to find these things or feel these things out for yourself, because the more you're in alignment, the healthier, the happier, the more joyful, peaceful, fulfilled not only you are, but those around you. And it allows them to blossom into their soul design. So if we're not living soul expressed, it's very hard for those around us to live that way as well. So that soul expression, you know, it can't come through in a container that's, you know, squishing it. Four-wheel drive, haha, Divine Mystic is saying. I don't know cars. But, yeah. Okay, hi, 323-603, you're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, did you have a question or a call? Yes.
Yes, I do have a question. Well, it kind of morphed into a question, sort of. I just recently
Okay,
started,
what's your first name?
Oh, my
what's
first
your first name,
name? April.
Oh, hi, April. April, hi.
Hi. Okay, so I just recently started my own business where I make jewelry, and I have
okay.
like a monthly
Wonderful.
Booth that I go to, and originally I was wondering how am I going to do this coming Saturday, but
mm-hmm.
I realized that it's more linked into a deeper concern as to how long am I going to be living where I'm living now, because I feel like I really need
well,
now, to, like, leave from where I am.
Yeah. Now, one thing I feel, are you just starting the jewelry? Because I feel it very new around you.
I've been making jewelry for quite a long time, but officially as a company, it's only been a few months now.
That's what I thought. Like, that's what I'm hearing. Yeah. So it's going to take a bit to build up is what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to move out of that situation, maybe have a transitional, you know, job as well is what I'm hearing.
Okay.
Now, are you at some type of market or boutique or something? Because I feel like you could have your jewelry in other locations. So whether
right,
you
I'm
become
at,
a little salesperson or have somebody, what? Go ahead.
It's at a monthly market. It's like the second Saturday of every month. And I have been thinking about looking into other locations.
Yeah,
like
you
I
need to do that because I feel the little market, the boutique, is going to be okay, especially as it gets warmer is what I'm hearing. So I don't know if it's outdoors,
mm-hmm.
but that market,
yes.
that boutique, I feel is good. But you also need to get it in some other boutiques. And I feel actually there's something – is there – are you near Robertson or Roberts? Robert, I don't know if it's the town. The thing is, I feel like there's something a next town over
okay.
to you
well,
out of the area that if you get it there's some stores that would carry, and you'll do quite well is what I'm hearing.
Okay, because I live in the valley, okay. but the market that I go to is in Silver Lake.
Ah, okay. See if there's a Rob Robertson, Robes, Robe, Rob, it's R-O, I think, Roberts.
My husband's name is Robert.
Who is it? Your husband's name?
My husband's name is Robert, but.
Oh, okay, maybe I'm picking up on him. Okay, because I'm just tuning in. That might
been
be.
Thinking
well,
about
maybe he's
going to
help you then.
Yeah.
Okay, so he might be helping you maybe rep or I don't know. But, okay, so that's the Robert then that's going to help you because I showed a Robert or Robertson. Robert's helping. Okay, instrumental. Silver Lake, okay, so that's why I see you in the next town. So you're actually not selling the jewelry near you, right?
Right.
Okay. And you're in
and
the valley.
And the other place
okay.
that I'm looking, the other place that I'm looking into is like even further away.
Oh, good. Okay. So you are going to have to. I don't know if it's oversaturation with jewelry. I don't know what the reason is, but it does show these other areas will be beneficial to you. You will sell more. So it might be that your jewelry is carried in different towns. So I guess what I'm seeing is you're not going to be able to have it like. Two or three stores in the same area, you're going to have to go to some different markets or boutiques. There might be a store, too, that has different boutiques, like a chain or something, or maybe a couple different locations. But you're on the right track. It's just going to be it's going to take a little while is what I'm hearing.
Okay. Okay. And
but it'll
build. I kind of figured it would take a while, but things like in other parts of my life, it's been kind of dependent on this working, you know, sooner than later.
It'll work, but what I see is you need somebody, sales and marketing, you know, just showing your way, you know, your jewelry and getting it into other locations besides that boutique.
Okay, because, yeah, I also have an online Etsy store, but I don't have much in there yet.
Mm.
and I was wondering if it's
that'll be okay.
More...
I was gonna say something online as well, but maybe even more eBay. I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or have a website where people can go to see the stuff. But I feel for you with your jewelry, I don't know why. I feel boutiques more. People see it, holding it will
okay.
go more buy it. You can have online as like. To maybe show things, you know, instead of catalogs. People don't use catalogs so much anymore. They can go to the website
right.
and buy things or choose things, yeah. But I would actually do a standing website, and I feel more than Etsy, you would have better luck on eBay.
Okay.
And I have no eBay. It's not paying me for this channeling. So, okay. I have nothing against Etsy or eBay. You know, they're both fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And think about, this is for all of you starting things. There's things like, Indiegogo, Kickstarter. If you put a nice little plan together, you know, and maybe set up even, you know, maybe a percentage of your proceeds going to charity, a lot of times people will help you get started. You know, $1,000,
yeah.
$10,000, whatever. Yeah. So there's an idea,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I've already had
But you're
that
on
happen.
The right track.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
great. I've been hoping that's the case because I was going to school before and I just felt that the way I was going wasn't the right thing for me to do, so I just kind of stopped it. And that's how we ended up living here where we live now because I used to live in student
okay.
housing.
Ah, okay. So the thing is you just have to build up. You haven't been at this very long, so
mm-hmm.
you need to give it some time to build up. All right.
Okay.
Much peace.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. Let's get to, we had a question, email question that I wanted to get to from Trish. Hi, Trish. Wanting to know about accepting a job offer during a Mercury retrograde since Mercury is retrograde in my natal chart. Normally one wouldn't sign contracts under MR, but how does this play with Mercury was retro? You know, there's different schools of thought, just like some astrologers do not bring intuition in at all into their astrology readings, and others do. I happen to, because I can't, it sneaks in. Usually, it depends how it's aspected in your chart, but usually it's said that those that have Mercury retrograde when it goes retrograde, depending also though what sign it's in and again how it's aspected, have less of an issue. Characteristically, the retrograde again is the REs, the redo, revisit. I would say if you've been looking for the job beforehand or you contacted the people or they contacted you before the retrograde and then they're contacting you or you're now signing the contract, then it's okay. What I do find in that kind of situation is that sometimes you aren't aware of everything that's there or something is missed. It doesn't necessarily have to be that it's bad. Or you may not be staying there long. It may be more transitional. You may be growing through it. But especially if you had been looking before, like I did a lot of work today. But I think Mercury is in Pisces, right? I did a lot of work, not today, a couple of days ago, with rewiring and, you know, getting my I have a smaller TV monitor and using that as a computer monitor. I mean, I did a lot of electrical stuff, and I didn't have any issues or problems. The only thing was that, and I even thought I had to buy something to extend some of the cords. I ended up not having to do that. It went really smoothly, actually. So, again, it just depends, you know, how it's aspected in your chart, and were you doing the action or behavior before? Were you that circumstance or situation? Were you involved in that before? Sometimes a Mercury retrograde signing a contract or working with people, or even a relationship, can mean that it's from a past life, or there's something similar that you are completing or needing to know or understand. Sometimes that completion can mean that it goes to a next level, like a friends getting together that end up dating. It can be that, or friends that you, or people that dated and now they're getting together and they're only they're friends. So, it can bring things to that next level of completion. It can also bring people that are meant to help you, or you know, assist coming in your life during that retrograde. Usually from the previous retrograde or to, you know, and again, depending on the aspects, like let's say something was aspected in your chart, even like, let's say, a year ago, right? And now it's re-aspected by that the upcoming retrograde. It's aspecting, you know, key, let's say something key in your chart. It can bring a conclusion or help from that question or that issue or that crisis from that, you know, a previous retrograde. It can bring that into a nice conclusion. I would say just go over everything really, really well. It doesn't have to be detrimental. Again, especially if you started, I would say if you're in a retrograde, if you're starting a job search then you're really about, it's about clarity for you. It's about getting clear. It's about clarifying what you really need and want. It's really about you're not sure. You know, something is a little off, you know, or do I even really want a job? Or what kind of job do I want? Or am I changing careers? Or so that, in that case, I would say you're in a real review period. But if you've been looking before and you've contacted people before, and especially if you've been talking to these people, that can be okay. You know, sometimes people have waited. I've had people sometimes, you know, wait and actually sign. But again, what it may be is that all is not revealed, that there's something that, you know, unforeseen ends up occurring or happening. And again, not always bad, not always detrimental. And, you know, especially if you've started the process ahead of time. Anybody have anything? Let's see. Oh, April, thank you so much for that reading. It totally confirms some thoughts I've been having. Yes, we do have Divine Mystic in the chat. I believe if you have any input on that Mercury retrograde question and signing of contracts, let me know. And I find it's interesting because I've heard people say, oh, if you have Mercury retrograde in your chart, then you have the retrogrades are, you know, easier on you or you're more used to it. And I've seen that being the case. And then I've also seen some people that have Mercury retrograde natally, and even the retrograde will happen in their sign and it's devastating. And then I've seen other people where it's not. So I think sometimes you have to look at other aspects within the chart, specifically, you know, what sign is Mercury in, that makes a difference. And how is it aspecting in your chart as well? That gives more kind of clarity. But Trish, I hope you, let's see, Divine Message said, even if you have Mercury retronatally, the people around them don't. Ooh, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a very good point, Divine Mystic. Thank you. Yeah, so that's true. We got to think of the other people around. And something Robert had said before that I thought was brilliant, that that a lot of times during a retrograde, people's stuff will come up. You know, their trigger, their issues, and maybe what's underneath, the subconscious, maybe that they're not even aware of, is being brought to the surface. So, you know, awareness is key. You know, and I actually had to buy a car once with a retrograde, and it did. I still have it actually to say did well. So, but I was looking ahead of time, and so that was signing of a contract, and you know, it was fine. So, I think aspects predispose, but sometimes, you know, there's a consciousness beyond the systems of thought, whatever they are, whatever the systems of thought are, sometimes we can go to that next rung up. All right, great questions. 347-539-5122 is the number if you have questions or comments. We have our Awakened guest that's coming on air. We have Kelly Sullivan Walden with us today, and she's a certified hypnotherapist, founder of Dream Life Coaching Training. She's the author of 7 books, including the number one Amazon best-selling book, I Had the Strangest Dream. She's also the author of Discover Your Inner Goddess, Queen, and she has some upcoming books. It's All in Your Dreams, Dreaming Heaven, and Dream Oracle Cards. She's also the creator and founder of The Dream Project, which is a nonprofit organization inspiring young people to solve the issues described in the United Nations and the Millennium Development Goals. Kelly lives amidst the squirrels, coyotes, and other things that go bump in the night. She's in the wonderful, enchanted Topanga Canyon. So I want to welcome to the program, Kelly, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Michelle. What a privilege and dream and blessing to be with you.
Thank you. You too, you too.
Thank you.
I love Topanga, by the way. And it is true. Things that go bump in the night. And in the day.
In the night. As
the ow, case. Yeah. Oh, the wonderful space. And I'm actually going to be there in a couple of weeks getting some healing work done. So I love that. And I used to go there. I used to go chanting. I had a chanting group, a city yoga group up there. And I would love it, especially when we'd have chants in the with the full moon. And I had the top down in my car, driving up there. Oh, my gosh, all the stars.
Oh,
so
that
beautiful.
Sounds like heaven. What a way to overcome Mercury retrograde. That sounds like tools to get through retrograde.
That's a good idea. Do you find where you live inspires you? Because you seem very magical. I was looking over some of your information. And to do the work and write, do you find your environment is really important to you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think I'd like to think that I could be anywhere and create and all of that, but I also know that I've become really spoiled and I feel like I'm surrounded by trees and nature all day long most of the time, and it does inspire me. And I feel like I think this is one of the I'm a city girl. I was raised in East LA, so nature was like an anomaly to me. It was like a thing that I did on vacation or on camping trips. It was not normal for me to be surrounded by nature. Normal to me was loud noises and helicopters and ambulances and things that go bump in the night for very wrong reasons. That was my
life.
So I can survive in the city, but I definitely find myself opening more deeply and feeling more connected in like ordinary ways to the extraordinary when I'm in nature. I think that's why we love nature, because it puts us back into sync with our own nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's hard to be in your ego when you're hugging a tree, when you're watching a woodpecker. It's like, oh wait, where did my ego go? It just disappeared for a minute. Wow, what a relief. Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think you can create anywhere. And then we find our preferred, which it sounds like you have found your preferred place, you know.
It's nice to just bloom where you're planted. Right. Bloom where you're planted.
Yes.
That's definitely something I strongly believe in. But while you're blooming where you're planted, there's something you were saying in the earlier segment about, can't remember exactly what you said, but about like raising vibrations or going up a bump, going up a notch above where the consequences of Mercury retrograde is. It's nice if you hang out there long enough, then eventually you find that your outer world starts to reflect your inner world. But it starts with you upgrading things from the inside out, and then lo and behold, things kind of start looking different in your surroundings, which is a wonderful way to play in the dream of being alive, I think.
Yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kelly, what brought you, and I want to touch on your own awakening or awakenings, because I really feel we have this blooming and blossoming, many.
Yes.
But if you look back, what was the determining point for you moving in this direction in your life?
Oh, wow. The first thing that comes to my mind is my sister, Shannon, but I won't give her all the credit, although I do give her a ton of credit. But I'll go back even earlier to that. I was raised to be a very devout Catholic. My dad was going to be a priest before he met my mother. So very staunch Catholic family. And I remember being in church when I was little and not liking church, not liking all the, like, by rote prayers. It was so sleepy and boring to me. But I used to love to go into church on Saturdays when we would do confessing our sins. But it was a very quiet time in church where there was no priest standing in the front, where I could just kind of be alone in the church by myself. And I remember loving that and looking forward to going to confession, not because I liked confessing my sins, but because I liked being in that. It's like, wow, a little girl, how much can a little girl have this sin about? Jesus. But I loved being in the reverie, being in contemplation and being aware of a higher presence as a little girl. So I do remember that. And I remember my mom once told me that she was looking all over the house for me when I was about 5 years old, and she said that she couldn't find me and she thought I was being naughty, I was going to get in trouble, but she found me praying in my bedroom, like kneeling down by a dresser and just praying. She said, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm praying." And I didn't even hear her yelling for me. So I know there was like a budding mystic happening at an early age. And so I feel like I actually felt like I had this conversation with you earlier today. Sometimes before I do an interview, I'll have the interview before the interview in my head or in my dream kind of a thing.
Yes,
and I was
yes.
telling you in my sort of dream about this that dreams are my primary modality. Like some people are astrologers, some people love tarot cards or siddha yoga or chanting. I use dreams as kind of my main oracle. But what I am beyond the dreams, I feel like I'm more of a mystic. I'm more of a, I just love to put things in a spiritual context for myself and for clients, and just I feel like it's a much more magical way of seeing the world and being in the world. And dreams are one way to touch base and to connect with that realm of magic and miracles. It's not the only way, but it's one way that we have freshly minted material to play with every day if we choose to. So hope that gives you. That's one point of view that I've never shared with anybody before. I normally talk about my journey into dreams from a totally different perspective. But so thanks for bringing out a whole new point of view, Michelle. You're good.
Yeah. I love myself. I myself studied Jungian dream therapy and Sanoa dream therapy, and
oh.
we taught that the dreams, yeah, are messages from your soul. So I love.
Yes.
In fact, I just got goosebumps. So I love the way that you described it as more. Mystical,
yes.
you know, that, and,
oh, yeah.
and I think it puts us in touch with that.
Yes.
A part, it's a dialogue from that part of us.
Yes.
Which brings me to a question that I've kind of wondered is, I guess it's twofold. One is, why do you find that we don't have more about our dreams in our culture, that it's not more integrated into everyday, you know, awareness, you know, even as a tool. And
right.
then I think the second part of that would be, why don't people remember their dreams? They seem to kind of go together. It's almost maybe there's not enough.
Absolutely go together. Yeah, they go hand in glove. And I would say there's probably many reasons why, but the one that I'm landing on at this moment, it's actually kind of scientific. When we go to sleep and dream, our whole brain doesn't fall asleep. Only part of the part of our brain that governs our analytic functioning, our logic, our ego, that part goes to sleep. Thank God. It needs a break because it's really been kicking up quite a storm throughout our waking life. So it goes to sleep. And meanwhile, the part that is awake is our emotions. It's more like our left brain goes to sleep and our right brain wakes up. Our right brain, which is our emotions, our associations, our symbolic consciousness, the part of us that is way outside the box. If anybody saw that famous Jill Bolte Taylor TED Talk about the brain and her stroke of insight, she talks about how when the right brain, her right brain woke up and her left brain had the stroke, she was in the realm of magic while she was awake. And that's kind of what happens when we're sleeping. So our association cortex wakes up and our emotions wake up, and that's the part that does the dreaming. So the moment we wake up in the morning, we switch, we trade off. It's our analytic, logical, ego that snaps into place and says, okay, what do I have to do today? I've got emails to return. I've got people to call, places to go, things to see. And that part of the brain looks at the things that we were just dreaming about and says, well, that makes no sense. That's ridiculous. Mm. That's just a bunch of hooey. Because to the ego, to the logical mind, at first blush, it makes no sense. It's just a bunch of random images. But to the part of our brain that was doing the dreaming, it makes absolute sense. It makes more sense than anything our logic or our egos could ever contrive. So that's one reason why we don't remember our dreams, partly because we don't assign a value. Our ego, our logic, our analytic mind doesn't assign a value to those things. So we just shovel it off under the pillow as if it was nothing. Because it doesn't make sense. Anything that we can't immediately make sense of, we usually put in the discard pile because we like to feel smart. We like to feel in control of our surroundings. And if anything shows up with a question mark on it, we go, oh, well, it must not matter. So poof, there it goes. And the other...
And I've even heard people say that. That's interesting. I've heard people say that like it's, oh, it's gobbledygook or doesn't make sense.
It's just a dream.
Or, you know. It's just a dream. Yes, there you go. It's just a dream. Yes.
Just a dream, exactly. And the other reason why we don't remember them is because the dream, the aspect of our mind that holds the dream is basically our short-term memory, unless it's a dream that has a real vivid sensation or a real vivid thing that happens. So that's why most people remember nightmares more often than they remember their sweet dreams, because the nightmares tend to be so visceral and so striking that we remember those more, and those tend to go into long-term memory. But most of our dreams happen in the part of the brain that controls short-term memory, so within 5 minutes, poof, it's gone like a wisp of cloud that just never existed. So unless we, A, assign a value to it, and we only assign a value to it if we really consider the impact that our dreams could have as a valuable resource in our lives. If we do that and we look at the facts that so many people's dreams that are highly intelligent contributors to science, to technology, to art and history, and we could, the list is so long. I mean, the medicine for diabetes came through a dream, and the sewing machine came through a dream, and even the verbiage in the Declaration of Independence came through a dream, and some of our favorite movies like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and Frankenstein, and more recent movies and stories, the Twilight series and the Rolling Stones, Sympathy for the Devil, and the Beatles song Yesterday, and so many beloved songs, movies, and contributions to science have come directly through dreams and dreamers. So if we consider, wow, well, what if my million-dollar idea is just a dream away? Maybe we would get more in the habit of paying attention to them. And then once we assign a value to it, then we need to just get into the practice or the habit, because humans are habit makers. If we are in the habit of writing down our dreams in the morning, then we'll tend to remember them, and they won't just go poof, gone like they normally do.
I love that you say assign a value to it. And that, and you know, when you say it now, it makes common sense. I hadn't thought of that. But it, so literally the assigning the value. Yeah, the assigning the value, and then you're saying somehow bringing a practice to it.
Right. This is kind of a strange metaphor, but I remember about 15 years ago, I was dating a couple of guys, and I was talking to a spiritual counselor of mine, and I was saying, I don't really want to date anybody. I feel like it just relationships just get in my way. I just want to create. I just want to do my thing. And relationships just seem to take up space and time, and they're just a nuisance. And she said to me, she said a few things about, well, okay, all of that's fine, and not everybody is necessarily built for relationships, but consider that if you got the right relationship, if you attracted the right relationship, it could exponentially make your life better. It could cause you to be much more feminine in your life because you'd have somebody that had your back. If you had somebody to share with on a daily basis your spiritual path, it could be 1,000 times more magical than you trying to trudge it alone. So all of a sudden, in that one conversation, I assigned a value to romantic relationships, and I suddenly stopped seeing them as a burden or something that was just in my way. And I all of a sudden became more interested in finding the right partner for me. And even though times get tough sometimes, I remember this is valuable. It's worth investing my time and energy into, even if sometimes they just seem ridiculous. It's like stick with it because it's going to be valuable for the rest of my life. So really it's about altering our belief system and just realizing that, wow, this could, if I remembered my dreams, my health could improve, my wealth could improve, my ability to have my soul be a larger part of my waking reality, which means a more juicy life, which means even on a very practical level, better intuition, better navigational guidance throughout the day, a better ability to be able to make choices and decisions, which affects my level of confidence. Oh, my God, just from remembering one dream each day, wow, you can't get that anywhere else. You can't. That's beyond the price of admission. So
I love that. No, but I think that assigning that, I mean, Kelly.
Yes.
You're on to something here, girl. You're on to something.
And nobody's ever brought that up before, Michelle. Again, this is something else I've not ever talked about, and I've done a lot of different interviews, and nobody's ever really kind of got lasered in on that assigning of a value aspect. I think it's really key.
Well,
thank you for catching that.
You're welcome. Thank you. Well, I kind of tap into like what can help people the best, and I'm seeing something here. I mean, I think it's revolutionary.
Yeah.
Because even that statement you said earlier, it's just a dream, I think people are missing out on such an enriching part of their life and a roadmap. And I'll just share briefly with you something that so backs up what you were saying about the dreams. Years ago, I had a show on called Fashion and Beauty where I interviewed people on the Style Network. And like the executive producers, they appeased me a bit and let me do. I really wanted to do a show on the major movers and shakers in fashion, and divergent people from artists, clothing designers, photographers, perfumery, moguls, da 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 da. What was the common thread? You're going to love this, Kelly. They all had a dream or a vision about their idea.
Oh,
two things. They all had a dream or a vision about their idea, followed by gut knowing. The second thing was they had a lot of opposition of people saying just what you said. It's just a dream. Or why are you going to put money into that? You had a dream about that. They all had opposition from the outside, and it came from a dream. So that's why when you say this, assigning a value, I feel, gosh, imagine, which I know you're doing this with your own personal work and your books.
Yeah.
More people, knowing that this is an option, is a tool, and that it's actually valuable. That it's not just kind of cool, like, oh, just in therapy,
right.
It's nice, we're doing dream work and therapy. But what if this really was something integrated into people's everyday lives?
That's the goal. In the Eastern world, just like the Siddha Yoga movement and chanting and doing so many things that are spiritual and soulful are a natural part of Eastern folks, even indigenous people, that they take these things, that this is what they do. But in the Western world, up until now, it hasn't been. It's like, well, if you can't assign a dollar figure to it, or you can't measure it, then what's the point of it? Then it must be irrelevant. But I think with us being post-2012 and, all those predictions of the Mayan calendar and Nostradamus and all of that, it's like the world is changing. And I think us Western folks, we can be in this world but still have that tiptoe outside of this world. And I think we must, in order to be a thriving part of this next chapter that we're all in. So I feel like it does feel like a movement, like a dream movement, to have people paying attention to dreams. I have a project that I'm going to be doing, so this is way ahead of time, but it's kind of exciting. I'll share, since I'm on a roll saying first things that I've never shared before with anybody. May 6th, I'm going to be starting a 30-day challenge, a 30-day dream challenge, and I'm wanting to get 1 million people dreaming for 30 days. We all dream, by the way. Everybody dreams, but I want 1 million people remembering their dreams for 30 days. And writing in just a little teeny word or two about it. They don't have to write in the whole dream or anything, but I want a million people creating a habit for 30 days. If you can do something for 30 days in a row, then you've created a habit. And I feel like it's all about critical mass. And if we get a million people in the Western world that paying attention to their dreams for 30 days, then more likely than not, they'll continue on the 31st day and the 32nd day and continue, and pretty soon it will become a habit. And I think, I know, actually, that things will have to shift and change in terms of being more balanced and there being more beauty and more thriving happening for more people. And when the people around us are thriving, like popcorn popping, if we're next to them, then we pop too. So it just feels like a ripple effect.
I
want to
You've got to come back.
Okay.
You've got to come back close when it's closer, and we'll support you on that because that's what we're talking about now.
Oh
yeah, now people will have that value. I will get
Great.
To the
I'll
call.
Take you up
I
on that.
I have one other question I want to ask because we had actually someone just bought your book. They just said, "I just bought her book. Is this going to help me? How is this going to help me learn to dream? I don't remember my dreams."
Wow.
I'm assuming the book they're talking about is I Had the Strangest Dream, The Dreamer's Dictionary for the 21st Century. They just emailed me that. So,
great.
Maybe
you
could talk a little bit about that.
Well, I'll say one thing is put the book on your nightstand by your bed because that'll be a trigger to remember to dream. And also you want to put something to record your dreams on right on your nightstand. So if it's a journal, if it's an app on your iPhone, I use a free app called Dreams Cloud. It's a wonderful dream recording device. And by buying the book and by thinking, here's two critical factors when it comes to remembering dreams. Think it's like a dream sandwich. So it's the two things on either side of the dreams. Right before you go to sleep, making a declaration to yourself, and it can just be a thought, like an intention, but a declaration is an intention on steroids, a declaration to the universe that says, I will remember my dreams. Upon awakening, I will remember at least one dream. And then you go to sleep and let the dreams take over. And then before you get out of bed, the number is three. Three times you want to replay, rewind, and remember the dream that you were just having. Not just once, but twice at three times. Because replaying the dream just once isn't enough for some people. You got to play it back three times and then roll over out of bed and write your dream down. What most people do is jump out of bed, and the first thing they do is make their coffee, get on their email, do whatever they have to do that's outer world related. And if they do that, the fine line between the magical realm of dreams and the ordinary world of practical reality, that little fine line is snipped. It's gone. But if the first thing you do upon awakening is ask the question, what was I just dreaming about, and write that down, and if you do that for a few days in a row, even don't discard any little snip of a dream, even if it's just one little leaf, one little word, one little thing, then that counts. Then that's one way that you can start to build your dream recall muscles.
Great insight.
And the book, by reading it, I know some people read a little bit of it before they go to sleep, and it inspires them to pay attention and just gets them thinking and activating that part of their brain. So good for you.
Thank you. And let us know how you do with that. You can call in if you'd like as well. We do have a caller, 905-257. Welcome to Awakenings Radio. You're on air with Kelly Sullivan Walden. Do you have a question or a comment?
I have a few comments. Michelle, okay. Kelly.
Oh,
hi.
Great. Oh, good. Hi. That's better. And what's your first name?
My name is Dennis.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
Hi, Dennis. And if you could speak up just a little bit. Perfect. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, I'm Dreammaster in the chat room.
Oh, great.
Hi. What you're mentioning
perfect
is...
Perfect name for this topic.
Sorry? Oh,
I
yeah.
said perfect name for this topic.
That's cute. What I feel and what you're mentioning and discussing on the show is beautiful. Remembering your dreams. You know, it's difficult. I started myself with, you know, like you had mentioned, you know, people remember bad dreams, nightmares.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when they don't remember their dreams, it's because, you know, they're kind of like floating around in their subconscious.
Right.
Nothing's really need to be, you know, addressed at that particular time. So you're kind of floating around. So, yeah, so you don't remember. So it's
right.
all good, right? And it's interesting. When you kind of like figure that out, and with me, I was having a lot of bad dreams.
Mm.
I knew where they were coming from, and they were coming into my dream time. I didn't really like it too much.
Right.
So I used to listen to the radio at night while I was dreaming and have the radio on. And this is subliminal messages, activations.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Big no-no, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, okay,
yeah.
We're going to get into that. Dennis, what's your question actually for...
My question? Well, no, I just wanted to make a comment, Michelle, is in regards to remembering your dreams, being lucid, whatnot. It's discernment. This
discernment.
Is just a comment.
What helps you be lucid for your dreams? What helps you remember your dreams?
Just my environment. Just knowing where I am. Just you know, that my wake time and my dream time are two different things.
Mm.
They're they can be interposed.
Absolutely.
Right, and you know, and it's separating my 3D distractions, deviations, which I would rather not have put into my subconscious, where that I lay my head down on the pillow.
Bravo.
Got it.
Yeah, brilliant. So, Dennis, if I may comment, you brought up a few really important points. The first thing is...
And I'm going to put off air. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The first thing is affirming, and just kind of what I had said about the nightmares being something that most people remember more often. And one thing I like to say that I didn't say before, I'd like to say that I believe that there's no such thing as... Oops, are you there? Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm not sure what. I'm
okay.
Here.
That there's no such thing as a bad dream. Ultimately, because we can work with those dreams, even the scariest ones, and with some dream alchemy, and that's something that maybe Michelle we could talk about at another time. How to work with and how to flip those dreams around, because I believe they can actually become rocket fuel, not just learning how to neutralize them, but actually turning them around into rocket fuel for our greatest awakening. But also. Mm-hmm. Treating our dream zone as if it was the most precious thing we had. Those moments bookending our sleep, right before we go to sleep and right when we wake up, think about the dream sandwich. You want to keep that zone so protected. Think of yourself like a precious little infant, not even a baby, just an infant that is so vulnerable, so raw, so open. During those times that you're asleep, you're in input mode. You're taking in so much, and you're also in output mode as you're dreaming, but mostly you have no defenses to block out any of the stimuli that's around you. So you want only that which is so nurturing and supportive of your highest being to be playing in the realm around you. So if you're going to listen to something, a lot of people listen to the news right before going to sleep, or listen to the radio, or keep music on a radio station. It's fine. However, we don't have control over all the music and all the input and the commercials that are going to play and all those things. And often the mainstream media does play on our fear factor. And so there can be a lot of subliminal, and not even subliminal, very liminal messages that are not supportive of our greatest strength and who we really want to become. So if you're going to listen to something, I suggest listening to some kind of a meditation or some kind of audio that's got really affirming words in it, because it's like you want to maximize that time. You don't want to hurt yourself during that time. You want to strengthen yourself. Also, literally, the images that you see around you before you go to sleep are also really powerful, and they impact your dreams. My friend Marie Diamond, who was in the movie The Secret, she's the feng shui expert, talks about people that have water images around them. So many people people love water. They'll have water posters mm-hmm. or pictures. She says, no, because your subconscious mind can't discern between that which is real and that which you see in a photograph. And so we tend to have, a lot of people have drowning dreams or being overwhelmed by the ocean because it's as if you're literally in the ocean, or if you have a big tiger or a big mountain lion, even if you think, well, that's my power symbol. It's subconsciously we see it as, oh my God, there's a lion in my bedroom. So you want to have images around you that lift you up and put you in a place that is the most impeccable, ideal way. And also just in terms of remembering dreams and paying attention to them, it's a muscle. Start small, start simple by just paying attention to something every day. Wake up and see if you can grab a snippet of a dream every day and share it with somebody. At the very least, write it down or use the dream app that I like to use. It makes it easier and kind of fun to use it, and it's easier to recall it as well later in the day. So I hope that addresses some of the things that you brought up, Dennis, and thank you so much for your input. It was very valuable.
Yeah, that was great, Dennis. Thank you. I mean, I love it because it brought up a good point, you know, that not letting all that external stuff or junk come in. And then you can't get to hear the soul message because you're hearing all that beta, you know, stuff, all the beta level stuff in there.
Right. It's like the still small voice can't really be heard over the cacophony of all of that other stuff. And I know people are habit makers, and if you have a habit of listening to the radio, then you do what you need to do, but try to counterbalance that by having a really beautiful environment around you if you can, or reading something affirmative before you go to sleep. Do something that's going to influence that receptive part of your mind that you're in right before you go to sleep and when you first wake up in the morning.
Good point. And I know it doesn't even have to be that long. I think just switch on that good music, you know, relaxing music, or like you said, affirming book, just right before you go. And I find too, your thought on this, Kelly, but I find the more sensitive you are, the more porous those images of the, right? They really, because I sometimes, I know now, do not, you better play something. Because I'll be asleep, and then all of a sudden I'm replaying, you know, now I'm being running, the police are there, and then I realize, I go, oh, that's what I saw in the news.
Right. It's so true. I know that the musician Jewel wrote a song years ago, and there was a lyric that said, I'm sensitive, and I'd like to stay that way. So it's a blessing to be sensitive, and we want to become more and more sensitive, because the more sensitive we are, the more access we have to our magic and to the beauty of this universe, to our soul, to our spirit. But it comes with a price tag. We've got to take care of ourselves and treat ourselves as if we were precious, because we are. More so and more so and more so, the more sensitive we become. So relationships need to be gentle, soft, affirming. Our environment needs to have soft edges to it. We really do need to treat ourselves. It's like the princess and the pea. The more sensitive we become, the more we can sense that one little teeny thing that was off in the day. It's like, and that's a blessing, because if we sense it, if there's that Dr. Phil saying, you can't heal what you can't feel. So it's good to feel it.
Even if it's uncomfortable. But now you said something, and I would agree on the surface, but then part of me goes, how and why?
Okay.
You've said something in the past that dream work is actually an important tool in awakening.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, to me, and I love the name of your show, by the way, Michelle. I love that. Everything,
thank you.
To me, dream work is in many ways pointed toward awakening. In fact, if my point of view, and this is just my point of view, is that from one perspective, life is a game, and the game is about waking up and becoming as lucid as possible. I had a death experience a few years ago, and I felt like I got to wake up in a way that I had never woken up, even in my most wonderful meditations. Nothing compares to this death experience I had, where I felt like I got to see everything so clearly. And I got to see how ridiculous my drama was. I got to see how silly it was to be upset about the little things that had really snagged my attention and really upset me. It was like, oh, my God, if I could really see clearly like this all the time, I would be happy no matter what. And that's the game, is to be as lucid as we can be, to be as awake as we can be. And then we can access not just our ability to survive well, but to thrive well. I feel like we're all, as a collective consciousness, just as just human beings. We're just scratching the surface of what we're capable of doing while we're in these three-dimensional bodies on this planet. It's like, what if we were capable of being on Earth but having this real true heaven experience where we could relate to each other more telepathically and where we could be more empathic with each other, where we could be in just a more graceful, harmonious state of being. And to me, that's only possible when we wake up. So dream work by itself in isolation could be just interesting, interesting mental exercise, like a crossword puzzle kind of a thing. But when you look at dream work as one road to awakening, then it really becomes magical. I feel like the dream work that we do, paying attention to dreams, working with dream symbols, it helps me and the people that I work with. It's like this is an ongoing awakening tool that we need every day, or that we can use every day to become a more awake version of ourselves. So what was the part that you didn't agree with? I'm curious about that.
I do agree with it. No, I do agree. I said I agree on the surface, but then I'm like, but why is that? Just wondering why. Because, I mean, to me it makes sense, but then it's like, how does it help?
Well, we can use dream work. I attend, I'm going to be a speaker again at this conference. It's a big dream conference that happens every year. It's the International Association for the Study of Dreams, IASD. And there's a lot of different dream enthusiasts that come to these events. And some people are scientists, some people are mystics, some people are anthropologists, some people are just avid dreamers and they just want to know more about dreams. But I feel like it's possible to use dreams in a very theoretical sense and be kind of removed and be very intellectual about it all. And I think that's fine and interesting and wonderful. Although, to me, the reason why I am most connected to it is because not only does it stimulate my mind, but it feels like it elevates me every day. It's like a toehold into the mystery, into the mystical. And for example, there was a dream that I had last night, and there was a dragonfly in the dream. I won't say the whole story leading up to it, but it was this turquoise, orangish red, very vivid dragonfly. And I like to, as a practice, focus on one symbol. I mean, I'll decode my whole, I'll play with the whole dream, but I like to end my dream practice in the morning with landing on one symbol that feels like it's got a shimmer to it, and I'll think about that symbol as I go throughout my day. So right now, as I'm talking with you and your listeners, Michelle, I've got this dragonfly that's hovering around me. And every time I think about it, my posture straightens a little higher. I feel like I have access to this other world, and the key to that is through this dragonfly. And it came to me freshly minted last night. It's not like every day I think about dragonflies. Some days I'll think about completely different things, but it's like a brand new thing that gives me access to the realm of the magical that I have a particularly personal connection to. It's not out of a textbook that somebody else wrote. It's something that came to me last night that spoke to me personally. So it means something. And we all have these images that are personal to us, that are so deep and meaningful, that gives us a personal key to the kingdom, so to speak, that's got our name written on it. I've gone off on a whole winding tangent there.
I love it. It's perfect for our conversation today. It's a perfect medicine. It's a perfect imagery. Oh, Kelly, we are out of time. We definitely have to have you back. And
I would love to. Especially around the million people. Yeah, so we could talk about the million people dreaming.
Yes.
That'd be really fun to do with you, Michelle.
I would love. Yeah, that would be great. And let more people know about that. I think that's great. I love the work that you're doing. So thanks so much for being here.
What a pleasure, an absolute pleasure to get to be in this awakening place with you. You're wonderful. Thank you for what you're contributing to the realm of awakening, Michelle. You're wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Ditto, you too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, and of course that was Kelly Sullivan Walden. Wonderful work that she is doing. She's a certified hypnotherapist, founder of Dream Life Coach Training, and author of many books. You can go and look on her website, dreamscloud.com. And, of course, we were also talking about the book, I Had the Strangest Dream, The Dreamer's Dictionary for the 21st Century. You can also read her weekly dream blog at pathos.com. That's pathos.com. For more information, connect with her at either ihadthestrangestdream.com, dreamscloud.com, or also on Facebook. Thank you all for being here. You are we the dream or the dreamer or the dreamed? I think we're both, right? It's always a magical Wednesday here. I love connecting with everyone every Wednesday. You are such bright light. So continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.